I think it's only fair to warn everybody that when I started out to preach in 1951, my usual time was between 45 minutes and an hour. So at 11:30, if everyone wants to look at your watch, that'll tell you how much longer you've got. But we'll try to conform to the more current way of doing things, so it shouldn't be that long. This sermon this morning is going to deal with the subject of the different gifts that people are given by God with which they serve Him and bring honor to Him and extend the kingdom. So we'll try to give you some of the application about how that works, about what the gifts are and how you obtain them, and whether you'll know if you have one, and then encourage you to exercise that gift in harmony with your ability. Let's turn to the first passage in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And this passage will bear out the fact that there are such things as different gifts that are given to each person. Now, by gifts, we mean a ministry, the ability with which to serve, to honor God, to accomplish the work of God in the lives of other people. Let's notice those verses 4 and 5 in 1 Corinthians 12. Now, there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of ministries, and the same Lord. And then it says in verse 6, there are varieties of effects, but the same God who works all things in all persons. I thought it was significant that when it speaks about God giving these various gifts and ministries, it speaks of the same Spirit, the same Lord, who is Jesus, and the same God. The three in one, the Godhead, the one into whom people are baptized in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, are all three mentioned right here. And it's saying that they, comprising the one God, are responsible for people having different gifts. So it isn't something we earn or learn or achieve because we have gone to college a lot of years, but it's something given to people. And undoubtedly, there are people here, all of us have some gift of some kind. And that's the second point in this passage, which is 1 Corinthians 12, verses 4 through 6. And then notice verse 11. It says, but one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as He wills. So God gave you something. You say, well, I never knew that. When did that happen? Well, if you're a child of God, if you have obeyed the gospel, if you are a Christian, then you are the recipient of a specific gift, one or more of them, that came directly from the Spirit of God and entered your life. You say, well, I don't feel any different. Well, no, you don't have to feel differently. But what you have in regard to one of these gifts or one of these ministries is present. And, of course, it's our responsibility to exercise that gift or to withhold exercising it. And that will be the point of our message this morning. You may have some gifts, but they're just lying dormant. They're not being utilized. And if not, then God wants to stir you and motivate you this morning, perhaps through this message, to begin to exercise that gift. Verse 18 in that point says, but now God has placed the members, each one of them, in the body, just as He desired. You know, where you are in your life is where God wants you to be if you're a Christian. And that with which he has equipped you to serve him is what he wants you to use. So really, if you want to cooperate with God's purpose for your life, then you have the responsibility to ascertain what those gifts are and then to begin exercising them, not for the credit you get or the praise of people, but for the glory of God. Now let's notice the third one of these. People with these differing gifts are equally important. I'm afraid some people don't realize that. They have the mistaken view that certain people who seem to be especially gifted and effective and maybe orators or whoever are somehow bigger, greater, more important than those who don't. Maybe you're one of those who feel, well, I'm nobody. I don't have much. Well, listen, if God is the giver of these gifts, and he gives to each one individually, as it said in verse 18, then that means you are among the ones whom God has gifted with a ministry. And we don't want to downgrade that in any way. All right, let's look at that third one now. Yes, it would be verses 14 through 22. These gifts are equally important. Let's read those verses. For the body is not one member, but many. The body being the church, made up of a lot of different people. Because if the foot says, because I am not a hand, I am not a part of the body, it is not for this reason any the less a part of the body. You might think, well, I'm insignificant as far as God is concerned, because there are parts of a physical body that seem to be much more important. Like, who would rather have an eye or a big toe if you had a choice? You'd probably take the eye, because you would view that as far more important and able to help you function much more effectively. And if the ear says, because I am not an ear, I am not a part of the body, it is not for that reason any less a part of the body, rhetorical question, you're supposed to say no, it's still a part. If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole were hearing, where would the sense of smell be? But now God has placed the members, each one of them, in the body just as he desired. You say, well, I wish I were like so-and-so. They're just such a great Christian. And they do so much for God. And everybody pats them on the back and praises them and considers them outstanding. But not me, because I don't have much. I have much education. I don't have any gift. I'm shy. I'm backward. I have no real skills that could honor God. Well, you know, that's not the way God looks at you. He looks at you as important, and he looks at you as someone who has the capacity for bringing honor to his name, and it remains for us to exercise such gifts. Let's look at verse 20. But now there are many members, but one body. And the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Or again, the head to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, now look at verse 22. It is much truer that the members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary. Do you feel a little weak at times? As far as God is concerned, as far as the kingdom, as far as accomplishment for him, many of us feel a weakness there. And so we withdraw and become hesitant to step forward and to really begin to do something with our lives because we feel we're too weak to do that. We want to bring some application of those principles in the remaining time we have. There is sometimes these gifts or these particular ministries are called a niche. We all know that that term is used to mean where we can shine, where we fit, where we are comfortable, and where we are best suited for service. Your niche, your ministry, may not be the same as mine. And that would be true of all of us. Each one is gifted differently, and each one has what would be his own strength or her own strength. Your niche, whatever it might be, is as important as mine. I would not want anyone to make a judgment that because I don't have what he or she has, I'm not as important to God. That would be a mistake. You're better at your niche, and I'm better at mine. Because what we have been given, and once we discover that and begin to exercise it, we find a satisfaction in that. You may have several gifts. I don't know that God said you're only going to have one. There may be several. And each of these may vary in their degree of efficiency or effectiveness or interest. When you find your gift, and I want you to think about that and hopefully determine what that is. Don't drop everything else. We need to be multi-gifted, multi-ministered. There may be a number of things we do, but usually the way it works, one thing stands out. And when we find what we're best at, it'll be what we enjoy the most, what we see to come the easiest, what we find to be the most effective for God. And that's the one perhaps would God would want us to focus our attention in. So what I'm saying in this message is bloom where you're planted. Pour from the bucket that you can lift and jog at the pace that you can keep. And then you'll be in your proper niche. When you find your niche, you will experience fulfillment and happiness. And many of you have already found that. You know what you're best at. You know what you like to do. You know what blesses others through you. We're able to perceive of that. And you'll find happiness. If you try to fill my niche, you may find frustration. And I've seen that happen so much. Young people, when they see someone that they are attracted to as especially effective, they say, well, I'm going to try to be like they are. Well, that could be a mistake, because your own gift and ministry and niche may not be the one they have. And so look for what you should have from God, what He's given you, and not try to be like someone else. If you minimize the value of your gift, think about this for a minute. If you say, I don't have something, you could be minimizing the work of God in your life. He's the one that gave you what you have. Who wants to criticize God and say, no, God didn't do a good enough job on me. He didn't give me the gift that this other person has. So let's be careful that we do not disregard or denigrate what God has done. So, you need to sing in the range that you can hit. You need to buy only what you can afford and with the amount of money that you have. When you find your niche, and many of you have, you will have a level of success in it, because God doesn't give us the gifts for nothing. He gives us for His glory and for His honor. And when we utilize them, God is pleased and His work will prosper. Don't measure your success by whether you have a certain gift. That would be a mistake. Remember, you don't have a control particularly over what gift God gives, but don't measure your success by whether you have it, but by how well you use it, what you already have. What you've got, when you use it, then that can bring a degree of success for God. So listen to the station that comes in the clearest, and wear the size that fits you, and then you'll have a level of satisfaction and happiness. But how do you find your niche? I can hear somebody thinking that. Well, I don't know what I'm supposed to be doing. God gave me a gift. I don't know what it is. How can I use what I don't know about? Well, it's not always easy. And sometimes it involves kind of a trial and error. You attempt certain things and you don't find them successful, or you're not really happy in doing them. And maybe it's something else that God wants you to do. I don't think he tells you in audible ways your gift is a certain thing. And so he wants you to focus on what will bring honor to him. Sometimes requires trial and error. But you'll know when you found it, because you'll like it. And it will be effective. And there may be your Christian friends who will commend you for something. Well, if they commend you when you do something for God, that could tell you whether this is an area that you excel in. And that's encouraging. And we need to do that to one another, don't we? If we see someone that is effective or doing something especially commendable in the kingdom, let them know that and just tell them how much you appreciate it. That's not flattery, and they should accept that as one of the ways which we can encourage each other. So we want to encourage you to bloom where you're planted and to sprout in your own pot. And I don't mean marijuana or anything like that. That I thought about the use of that word, maybe it wouldn't fit too well. Some of the different niches that people find with which to serve the Lord. And I wouldn't begin to list them all because I don't know them all. But here are some of the things that I have seen that people use as a gift and ministry from God, and that they bring honor to God. The first one is not necessarily the most important, but preaching is generally considered to be a gift, and it has great value. What about serving as an elder, or serving as a deacon, or serving as a missionary, or serving in a woman's ministry or a children's ministry? When people do those things and they find enjoyment and they see good accomplished, they can rightly conclude this may well be their gift. What about teaching a class for children or women or men or something? Speaking, what about writing? Some people are gifted with the ability to write clearly and plainly and a way to motivate others. Singing, we've got people gifted with that, and there's no question about that, because each Lord's Day we're blessed by their use of their ministry, of their gift for the edification of us all. Some people are musicians, capable of playing instruments, and they do well, and we're thrilled with that, and we need to let them know that we appreciate the gift that God has given them and their willingness to exercise it for his kingdom. But there are a lot of other things that we usually don't think about. Some people are especially gifted with the ability for planning, or for decorating, or for organizing. Even something like typing for some ministry or some particular benefit that people do to help the body. Cooking for the needy, cooking for those who may be sick. That's a ministry. That's a gift. And some people love to do that. And so they should do that to honor God and to be a blessing to other people. Some are good at calling and visiting and going in and counseling with people and encouraging them and helping them when they're sick and unable to get out. Maybe shopping for them or some other way to show their love and their concern. Yard work even. There are people who can't do that after they get up in years. And so when we can help them do that, that can be a gift. Some people work on cars. They used to anyway to help people have their car run better. Now you don't want to touch them because they're so computerized. Praying for people. You can do that even if you're sick in your own home. And you can pray for the preachers and pray for the elders and pray for the deacons and pray for the missionaries and pray for the sick. Praying is a wonderful gift. Some people find that a great enjoyment and are able to do it effectively. Well, there are a lot of gifts that people can have, and we've only scratched the surface of what all they might be. What I want you to get from the message is there's a place for your service in the kingdom. You have a place. Please acknowledge that God never made a mistake, and when he was handing out gifts, he didn't miss you. He gave you something that can be a blessing. You may not know yet for sure what it is or where it is or how to exercise it. If you feel unfulfilled in your Christian walk, and which ones of us don't feel that way at times, it may be due to not becoming involved in the work of the church by the use of our particular gift. The gifts you have are important to God. Remember, you say, I don't really have enough to do much. Well, God gave it to you. You exercise it. He'll be pleased and he'll bless it in ways that you may not. You know, you don't always see the effect of your gifts. You do something and you don't know for sure how far reaching it might be in being a blessing. What you're doing to find out what your gift is important. If you know what it is, then make sure you put it to use. March to the beat of your own drummer. What you want to hear and what you do hear, respond to that. I want to close with a little poem that touches on that. Someone wrote this and I thought it was very apt. And as I close, listen to this. If you want to work in the kind of a church, like the kind of a church you like, you needn't slip your clothes in a grip and start on a long, long hike. You'll only find what you left behind, for there's nothing new that's really new. It's a knock at yourself when you knock your church. It isn't the church, it's you. Real churches aren't made by men afraid lest somebody else gets ahead. Everyone works and nobody shirks. You can reach a church from the dead. And if while you make your personal stake, your brother can make one too, your church will be what you want to see. It isn't your church, it's you. Let's ask God to bless these words. Father, thank you for Jesus, and thank you for the Spirit you put in us. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for your great power over us all. We know, Father, that you have seen fit to equip your people with gifts and ministries. And we ask this morning that you will bless each one so that they'll find what you've gifted them with and will utilize it and feel blessed and strengthened because of it, and that your kingdom will grow as a result. We praise you for your wisdom, in gifting us all in some way, and help us to bring honor to your name by the use of it. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.